Welcome to Sell Smarter, Sell Faster, a podcast dedicated to helping sales organizations grow. Each week, we discuss proven sales enablement strategies and real-life examples with experts and thought leaders from across industries. I'm your host, Danny Buckley, Vice President and General Manager at Lead G2, a sales performance agency.
Just as we have all had to adjust to hybrid and remote work environments over the past few years, so too have sales organizations had to adjust their strategies for virtual spaces. In this episode, we're discussing the ever-increasing shift to virtual sales and how sales managers and salespeople should alter their approach accordingly. Joining Danny today is Lori Richardson. Lori is an author, speaker, and podcast host, as well as the CEO and founder of Score More Sales, a nimble, award-winning sales enablement firm that helps mid-sized technology, distribution, and services companies grow frontline revenues in quick and focused ways. She hosts the podcast Conversations with Women in Sales, which features women in sales who share practical advice for advancing one's sales career. Together, Danny and Lori cover the continual shift to virtual sales in a few key areas, such as why adapting to virtual sales has been hard for so many, how everyone needs coaching, no matter how long they've been in sales, and finally, how truly knowing the individuals on your sales team and what motivates them can be the secret sauce for sustained success and fulfillment. With that, let's get to the conversation. Danny, take it away.
Thanks so much, Shay. I'm excited to have Lori Richardson here today. Hi, Lori. How are you?
Hi, Danny. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. Well, I am excited. We have lots of good, interesting things to talk about that I know our audience is going to be excited to learn about. So I'm going to jump right in. We're talking a bit today about virtual sales and, obviously everyone gets it now that there's been a shift to virtual sales over the last couple of years. And really even before that, I mean, the pandemic obviously expedited everything, but we've seen this shift happening here at CSS and at Lead G2. We've been doing virtual sales for a really long time because we've always been a remote company. But for a lot of organizations, they felt that it's really disruptive. And some are totally on board and getting the hang of it, and some are still really struggling. So to get us started, I'm curious, just like, what are some of the key things that you've seen that made this so hard for everyone to make the shift?
Yeah, for sure. People have discussed this topic many times over the years. And it was interesting because I distinctly remember pre-pandemic how there were some companies that were just absolutely certain that they would not let their salespeople work remotely. And I happen to know a number of those companies. Some were in manufacturing, some were in tech, and they were adamant. And so it was most interesting to see some of those change. And then now with companies doing everything they can to stand on their head to get people to come back into the office. And I mean, if you don't have an hour or two commute anymore, and you're productive, you know, it's kind of a tough one for some of us. I've been remote for the last 20 years, so it was never an issue for me. But in fact, when you ask about challenges, there are some folks who don't work well remotely, and there are some leaders that don't work as well remotely. So it's one thing you can do is self-check and see, how did productivity change? How did results change in the last number of months and, you know, a couple of years? Because if productivity's up, as some companies have reported, and if revenue is up, then you really need to think about it. And I know there are some companies, like Chili Piper is one that comes to mind that I work with, who said, we're all virtual forever. That's it. End of story. And I really think there are two different types of folks. I think there are the people who want to work remotely for some very valid reasons, including commute time. Also, because they might be parents, or they might be helping to care for older folks. There's so many different reasons. And then there are the people who say, yeah, I can do a hybrid thing. I like going into the office once or twice a week, probably not much more than that. And then those that can go in, you know, once a week or a couple times a month. And I really think there will be two different types of folks. And if you're all virtual, then you're not going to come into my office. Probably you're just not going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's really like figuring out who is on your team. Who do you need on your team? How, yeah. Like there's so much, it's not just taking the old process and now making it virtual.
and the idea that you now have a worldwide pool to yes. choose new candidates from is really incredible in a lot mm-hmm. of ways. So it really depends. I don't think one is right or wrong. There's room for both and yeah. on all hybrid, virtual, going back full time 5 days a week. I just don't see it.
Yeah. Agreed. So let's talk sales enablement. That's kind of what we focus on a lot here. When it comes to, I mean, all selling, I mean, we're kind of talking a little bit about virtual selling here today, but all this is applicable to just sales, I think. What is the role of sales enablement? And how does it, what makes it important in virtual selling in particular?
I was an early participant in the Sales Enablement Society. And the reason that group came together in the beginning, a handful of years ago, maybe five, six years ago, was because of the massive confusion over the term sales enablement. So when people talk about it, and there's so many different layers to enablement, but basically people were taking a sales enablement role, and then the company would just dump more stuff on them. You'd organize training. You help with we bought this new tool, you help roll it out, all these different things. And I really admire what they did in the beginning to try to set some definitions rather than just letting vendors do it. Cause that's the way it was in the past, was vendors were saying, oh, this is sales enablement, this is what you need. And there were people in sales enablement roles who were very unempowered in terms of, you know, these are my duties, this is what my skill set is, and this is how I want to work. There was a lot of problem in that area. So when when we talk about it, I like to start with that because I think there's still some confusion, maybe not in enterprise-sized companies because it's very much a department and it's very fairly organized in most mm-hmm. of the companies I see. But I think the big thing for virtual selling is really in helping teams have the tools and processes that they need at every point to be successful and to help with the culture of, you know, working as a team and then just helping people feel empowered. I believe sales enablement can do that, even though they may think it's a little more about tools and tech and processes. There's a human element that's really important.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's like, I agree with you. It is a very kind of ambiguous definition or word at a lot of times, right? Because it's like, well, sales enablement, that's sales, right? You should be doing that. But there is something different. And when we're talking virtual selling, even more so do they need to have access and know how to find things, because they can't just yell down the hall or ask the person in the cubicle next to them, or, you know, it is different in that way of how we used to do things. And yeah. Everything needs to be easy to find, needs to be accessible, needs to be provided to them. So no matter what hours they're working, because maybe you're in different time zones, they can find it. And they have it.
And I'm one of those people who greatly benefited from being part of a team that was in person in my sales years. And I learned so much from the veteran folks that were around me. And so we have to have ways to replicate that as best we can virtually, like you said, considering time zones and considering the tools that people are using. But it's probably easier now with all the tech that we have in terms of listening to calls after the fact, which can be extremely valuable. And really just hearing how your peers are dealing with situations. And sometimes you just have a frustrating day and you need to hear someone with a really great value prop, or, you know, just handle an objection that you're like, oh, wow, that was really great. I got to remember that, write that down. Yeah. So it's good to have those folks around you in whatever manner you can make happen.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, I mean, you specialize in helping salespeople, helping sales organizations, you know, sell more as we do. Let's talk about mistakes. What are some of the big mistakes that you're seeing? Where are sellers dropping the ball? Where are they still not adhering to like tried and true best practices? Like, what are you seeing currently that seems really common that people should be aware of?
Well, you may want to talk about leadership after this, but I have to start with leadership because it doesn't really matter what mistakes the sellers make if they, you know, if they're not off to a good start by leadership. And leadership sets the tone. Leadership creates the value proposition and helps with the compelling reasons. It shouldn't be up to salespeople to figure that out. And yet I've had many roles as a seller where it was on my shoulders. I created my own materials. I honed my value because I didn't quite get it or wasn't clear from leadership, you know, what we were selling. That has to be first. That's got to be in place. The big vision, you know, what we're working for, our why, as people talk about it now. And those are so important. And then sales managers need to really lead the team and coach and help people grow. Everybody needs coaching. I don't care how senior they are. I don't care how long they've been around. If you ask them, and you know, we always use athletes as a reference point, that the top athletes have coaches and trainers. Yeah. And so that has to be important. And then it comes to the sellers. You know, seller needs a growth mindset. We were hired to grow revenue. So if we're not doing that, that's an issue, right? Mm-hmm. It's very clear. That's why I've always liked sales, because it's very black and white. If
it is.
I'm doing the job, what's wrong? What's happening? How can I get better? If there's a problem with, like I said, with the value proposition or the market or the company or, you know, whatever it is, I need to find that out. Or is it me? And so having that mindset of A/B testing and, you know, shifting and being open to get feedback from buyers who don't go with us or colleagues who think I might be missing the mark is very important. So bottom line is, you know, if numbers aren't being hit, then we need to really take a hard look, because that's what I was hired for.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that you say that it really is black and white. I mean, it's not easy, but it's simple.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And then sometimes we try to complicate it a lot, I think, in the industry. And just it does come down to, like, is it working? Are you getting the results you need? Okay, what else can you do differently? Explore different strategies and tactics. Like, what best practices are you not hitting on? Because usually it comes down to that. It's like the really simple, basic stuff isn't happening. And I want to add.
Assuming that the leadership knows what the right best practices are. I mean, that's a big issue. You all probably see that too, is that if you're not well managed or well led, if there's so many companies we work with that there wasn't a strong set of goals or, you know, set of overarching issues and targets, and it was more like, you know, we're kind of in this together to figure it out in a lot of the tech companies. And then manufacturing, sometimes, you know, they just miss the mark, and distribution has to distinguish themselves from others. And so that's really not the salesperson's job. The company needs to set that before they bring salespeople in.
Yep. Agreed. So trends, current trends, it's 2022. and we've been through a lot the last few years, and things have changed. There's, you know, the trends are changing more rapidly than they ever have before. What's working, what's not. So what are you seeing? What are some of the things right now, like going into this next year, that tactics, strategies, types of content, technology, what are you excited about and what are you wanting people to know about?
Yeah, not so much on new technology, because we have so much of it. Yeah. Have you ever see those charts that show all the different tech tools that kind of make your eyes go around and around? I love the new push on empathy, on greater empathy and stronger communication, listening skills, things that women, by the way, are very strong in. And we still have less women at every level in professional selling. You know, that there's so many opportunities for growth in that area to have more sellers that look like who our buying audience is.
Yes.
More diverse selling teams. So I'm a big advocate of that. And I have incorporated a process where we evaluate existing sales teams and we look for core sales competencies and sales management competencies. And then we also help companies hire better that way too, to find people who are coachable and who have a strong will to succeed and not just, you know, I know what consultative selling is,
yeah,
but I actually have the will and the determination and the grit to be successful at it. That's what sales teams need, because we don't have the luxury of having extra weight on our teams anymore. This is a time where we have to have the right people in the right roles. And that's what I have the pleasure of helping companies to figure out. And it's extremely rewarding. And it makes a difference in the bottom line and how quickly revenue ramps up.
Yes. Yeah. We, you know, part of our parent company, the Center for Sales Strategy, we call it the, you know, talents, those things that you're just kind of born with and that makes someone a great seller. You can teach them the product. You can teach them how to use the CRM. You can teach them, but do they have the things that you're talking about that are really going to allow them to succeed and not actually have to like try to completely change their personality or characteristics in order to do that.
And actually personality is a bit misleading because personality tools, in my opinion, don't work to find top sellers, but there are some traits that we're looking for, like what you say in your head.
Yeah.
And because if you teach me all the consultative selling skills or how to sell value, but in my mind, I'm sure that it's not going to work and I'm sure I'm not going to be successful. Guess what? I'm not going to be successful. And I think that that's one of the reasons why sales training is, you know, a multi-billion dollar industry. And yet sales don't go up in a lot of companies.
Yep, absolutely. So great. We've covered a lot. I to kind of close this out, is there anything else that you want to pass on? Any words of wisdom to, you know, sales leaders, business leaders that are listening? That you think is important as they're kind of heading into this fourth quarter and thinking about hitting those goals?
Yeah, I think it would be to really know the individuals on your sales team for leaders and to know what motivates them, because different things motivate different people. Some of us are more internally motivated and some are more externally motivated. I got into sales for the money because I was a single parent. So I'll take a cash spiff all day long. But a lot of sellers are not motivated in that way anymore. They want recognition and they want to do a good job. And it's much more important than any, you know, money is a piece of it, but it's not the overarching reason that they're doing their role. So really understand your team and know how to motivate them and just, you know, how to make it fun. I've always done things in my selling career to make it more enjoyable. And because let's face it, it can be hard to sell, right? Sales can be a tough gig. So if you have awesome people that you're around, if you have a great mission, a great vision, really cool services that are changing business, then it makes it much more rewarding. And I would encourage people to really kind of do an overview of what they have to offer, and that will help them to secure stronger candidates.
I love that. Thank you so much, Lori. I'm sure we could talk all day about this stuff, which I tend to be able to do, but this was really great. I really appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Danny.
And to everyone listening, be sure to connect with Lori. We've got her contact information, her businesses in the show notes, everything that you can find and link to and get more information. And we look forward to seeing you all in the next episode of Sell Smarter, Sell Faster. Until then, happy selling. Thanks for joining us on Sell Smarter, Sell Faster. Be sure to click that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And visit us on sellsmartersellfaster.com to access tons of resources on the topics we cover on the show, or to get in touch with Shay or myself. And of course, you can find us on social media, including our personal pages on LinkedIn and Twitter. We'd love to connect and hear from you.